Blog Talk Radio. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh,
Florida, where God will always get the glory, the honor,
and the praise on this broadcast. For the word of God says, if I be lifted up, he said that he will draw all men unto him. So we thank God today that you have joined us again on the Hour of Power broadcast. We're going to be speaking today from Luke, the fifth chapter. That is in the New Testament. But first, we're going to get ready to go before the throne of grace. We want you to know that you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend. Tell them that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. Let's go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. God, we thank you for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, that word, how we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for being the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the true and the living God. Today, we thank you, Lord God, for being able, God, to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask of things. Father, we proclaim it today that there is nothing too hard for you to do. Lord, we just thank you, God, today, Father, for moving in every area of the cities and the states, God, that are listening here to this broadcast. And Lord, those that have infirmities in their body, God, we send the word of healing, God, to each and every person. God, let it receive it by faith. Father, we just thank you for what you're about to do. Thank you, Father God, even on this broadcast today. God, we pray that souls will be saved and lives, it will be changed. Father, I ask thee in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to once again to come before your people to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God. And this we thank you and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, this is the Hour of Power broadcast. I am the preacher of the hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We're excited about the word of God. The word of God brings life to those that are in darkness. So today, why don't you get the word out as we begin to preach the word and as we begin to teach what God is saying to his people this day and this hour. We're going to be talking about the miracles of Christ, the miracles, the supernatural things that God has done and the supernatural things that God is doing. Yes, he is that miracle God. Yes, he is still doing great and mighty things. Yes, he's still healing bodies. Yes, he is still causing diseases that have been pronounced by the doctor that there is no cure. He is still that God that is moving today, and he is that God that is able to heal you, mind, body, soul, and spirit. So let's go to the word of God, Luke, the fifth chapter. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which were Simon, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Here we see, let's stop there and put a pen there, that we see that God, how he had was among the people, how they pressed to see him, impress upon him, to hear the word of God. And we see here today, and even as I read even that in that first verse, when we're talking about the word of God, it let us know the power of the word of God. And they pressed, they wanted to get next to him. They want to be able to hear. And even as I think about this, I'm thinking how many people are pressing, how many people are wanting to hear the word of God, how many people have that love for God and love for his word that they want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the people. So the people press upon him. And here in the word of God in that second verse, it says, and how the Lord has saw the two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen, they had gone out of them, and they was washing their nets. Yes, they was in there at one time, but they had gone out, so nobody was in these two ships. So he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. To push out, to go forcefully, to put a drive of the force, to go out a little bit. So when he did this, he had sat down and he talked the people out of the ship. I can imagine just visualizing the people, how Jesus began to teach them while he was in that ship, and how they was able to hear that sound, darkness, the word of God that will fill their faith, that will cause their faith to go to the next level. And when Jesus speaks to his people, that gives them hope. That gives let them know that they can have what they need. When we're talking about faith, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe that these people, they wanted something from God. My question is to you today, what is it that you want from God? Do you have the faith to believe God? Can you pray like these people did so they can hear from God? And when God seen that they wanted more, so therefore he had got into a ship. It didn't say a boat, but it said he said a ship. And then they told us in that fourth verse, now when he had left speaking, after he had talked to people, after he had given them the word of life, after he had spoken the word of God to them, after he had given them hope, and after he had built up their faith at that time, he, in that fourth verse, he had left speaking, and he said unto Simon, he told him to launch out into the sea. Throw out that propeller, and let's go and release it, and go out into the deep. You're on the surface, but I want you to go further. I want you to go out into the deep. And then after you get down, after you get rushed out into the deep, I want you to let down your net for a drop. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Can you imagine? See, the word tells us that the ships were empty. The men was washing their net. They didn't catch anything. They had fish. They was fishing all night long. They were fishing with expectation that they were going to get fish, that they were going to catch fish. And I can imagine them thinking about all the fish that they were going to catch. But at this time, they didn't catch any fish. But Jesus pain. And Jesus tells them to launch out to the deep. Sometimes we don't understand what God is saying to us, but we don't need to understand. All we need to know what God is saying, and God is telling this man of God to launch out into the deep. I don't know what you're going through today, and I don't know what you was expectation of, what you was expecting God do, and you didn't see it done at that time. But God is saying, even as he's saying to Simon Peter, and he's telling him to launch out in the deep, I believe that we need to launch out in the deep. We need to go further. We need to go just like they need to go below the surface. Are you seeking the face of God? I don't know what you're doing, but I know that God wants us to have that higher height and that deeper depth in him. We need a deeper depth in the word of God. The word of God said to study, to show thyself approval unto God. A workman of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. You say, that my boy, what is truth? The word of God said we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. That which is right, that which is wholesome, that which is holy, the truth is God. And so we need to know God. We need to know his word. We need to be steadfast, and we need to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. See, whatever you do, it is not in vain. It's an enemy. He will try to make you feel that what you're doing, it is in vain. I tell you today that the word is not in vain. We need to be steadfast. Don't move to the right or the left, but look to God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I believe the word of God tells us in the word of God and Psalm. He said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hill, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who has made the heaven and the earth. So all we need to do is to be obedient. Can we do that? All we need to do is be obedient to God. Because when the word of God, when we begin to examine what faith is, the word of God says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may hope for it, but you don't see it, but yet it's still God. It's still, I have faith to believe God. What is that petition that you asked God for? What did you ask God to do for you? And yet you're still waiting for God to move on behalf of that petition. And yet you have not seen God. I believe God is building your faith. I believe that God is calling you to be stronger. Do you remember Hannah, how she had prayed and how she had wept and how she had gone before God? Sometimes she was even grieved in her spirit because of the fact that she wanted this male child. She wanted God to give her this child. She was childless. She was barren, and she awaited for years in order to have this child. But she had to persistently pray. She could not give up in her prayer. I believe that when God don't give us things that we want readily, and to be able to wait on, he is maturing us. He is making us stronger. He is causing us to be those vessels for his honor and for his glory. Somebody needs to stand on the word of God. Somebody needs to wait on the Lord and to be of good courage. I believe that even as Peter and his partners, as they were on the ship, they didn't catch anything. And in essence, they didn't catch it, so they began to wash their net. In other words, they was like kind of giving up because they didn't catch anything. They didn't catch anything. But when Jesus, listen to me now, when Jesus told Simon, he said, when he spoke to to him. He told them to launch out into the deep and let down your net for a job. I mean, I like that positively speaking. He was positive speaking. You know, you're not going to let this net down just to be letting it down. When you let this net down, you're going to get a multitude of fish. You're going to not come back up with an empty net. So Peter and their partners had to believe God. You know, sometimes when things happen like that, you say, oh, I, just like Peter, we are fish. Oh, night long. All night long. I can imagine him even in his spirit, in his heart. We've done this. We did this. Well, God is saying, do it again. Do it again because I said so. Do it again. Let down. Launch out into the deep. Let down your net because you're getting ready to get a multitude of fish. You're getting ready to get a drop of fish. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we are poor. We are poor. We weren't just out there. But Master, we are poor all the night, all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, as thy word, I will let down the net. That's all Jesus is asking for. Just obey me. Just listen to what I'm saying. Just be obedient unto me. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great, not small, but a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. They had gotten so many fishes in that net that the net began to break. Why? Because it was a miracle from God. It was because they were obedient to God. Because they was willing to go a little farther. Because they was willing to go further out into the deep. It was because they decided that I'm going to launch out just like God said. Stop saying to you to go out. See, God wants us to go into the hedges. God wants us to go into the highway. God wants us to go and prepare others to come. So therefore, it's time for us to stop to doing what we're doing the things that we have done in the past, the things that we may have done last night, the things that we have done a year or two, and you say, oh, this is not working. But when God said for you to launch out into the deep, just expect for God to move on your behalf. Be it ever how, whatever what you may think or how you have experienced things in the past, when God says to do it, then you should obey and do it because they were able to get a great multitude of fish. And look, in that seventh verse, and they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both, not one, just not one ship. Look what happened when God is in it, when we obey God. Look what happened when you can be obedient to God. They just did not fill one ship, but they were they filled both of the ship. And here in that seventh verse, I want to read that again, that they had beckoned to their partners which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ship so that they began to sink. Oh, my God. Look at God. You can imagine a multitude. And they weren't in a boat, because the word of God said that they were in a ship, It was two ships, not two boats. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." But he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the drop of the fishes which were that they had taken. They knew the story. They seen what happened. Many of them was there when they was out toiling and was trying to catch fish. They knew that a miracle had occurred. A miracle of Jesus had happened because of the fact that they believed God. Yes, you may be toiling. You may be going through some trials, and you may be going through some tribulation in your life. Yes, you may have had a bad report from your doctor or from a doctor. But my question is this morning, whose report are you going to believe? I choose, and you should choose, to believe the report of the Lord, that you are healed, because Jesus paid the price 2,000 years ago for your healing and for your deliverance. So these men, as people, it humbled him. When we see the works of God, it ought to humble us. You know, it ought to make us humble. He humbled himself. He fell down on his knees and asking Jesus to depart from him because he realized that I'm the fool of the Almighty God. I am a sinful man. I'm not worthy to be before you, O Lord. But he was so astonished. And all that were with him at the drop of the fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, come on, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." I have showed you the miracles of the fish. I've showed you how you fished all night long and how you tore and you came up with nothing. I've shown you how to believe me and how to trust me. I'm going to show you now. You may have been a fisherman in the natural, but I am going to cause you to be a fisherman of men. I don't know how many of you today that understand what I'm saying today, because if you can imagine a fisherman, and you know, I admire a fisherman. I admire those that are on the docks and on the boats, and they are fishing, and they are fishing almost like they did in the Word of God, because they don't care. A true fisherman, they'll get up early in the morning. They'll get up 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning or earlier, and they will cast their nets. And they will sometimes they'll take that pole, and they'll throw that pole into the water. And they don't care how long they have to stay there. You know what? They don't even care about the rain sometimes. The rain don't even move them. I'm talking about a true fisherman. I'm talking about one that wanted to catch fish, one that have that passion. I believe that you have to have a passion to be able to catch fish. Unless if you don't have that passion, you're not going to stand up hours and hours. You're not going to get up early in the morning to catch any fish. But God knew who he was dealing with. And he knew that these men of God, that he was going to use them to be fishers of men. You ought to pray, Lord, make me a fisher of men. God, give me that passion to win souls for the kingdom of God. For the word of God say the harvest is plentiful, but the labor of few. You are to want to win souls for the kingdom of God. Don't you know that we are living in those last days? Jesus said that he's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life, and that we can have it, but that we can have it abundantly. We can have life. We don't have to die. Men and women don't have to die and go to hell. They can have life. Why don't we give them life? If you are a believer, you ought to want to see souls saved and lives changed. Because when we think about it, we were all sinners, but we were saved by the grace of God. So here we see God miraculously moving on behalf of Peter, James, and John. God was that same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever. That same God will use you to be a soul winner, to be a fisher of men. He will cause you to go forth and not go forth not wanting a grudgingly like Jonah did, because he called the man of God, because the Ninevites, he was going to destroy them for their sin, for their wickedness, for the things that they did. They did awful things to people. They did despicable things to people. They didn't have that heart of God. They were heartless. Anybody that did the things that they did, they had to be heartless. But yet, God, when God comes in, when God sends his men and women forth, and to tell them of his goodness, to let them know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He let them know that he was going to destroy them. And he wanted Jonah to go and to tell them what he was going to do. Remember, Jonah was reluctant. Jonah did not want to go. How many of you this morning that just don't want to go, that don't want to go and tell the good news of Jesus Christ, that don't want to go and tell somebody that Jesus loved them, that Jesus paid the price for them, that they can live and not die, that they can have eternal life? Is there somebody in your neighborhood that you haven't told about Jesus? Is there somebody at your workplace that you have not told about Jesus? Let's bring it home. Is there somebody in your home that you have not told about Jesus? In your family, have you not told about Jesus? The word of God tells us that he is soon to come, and we need to get the word out. God did all of this in order to let Peter, James, and John know it's the power of the Almighty God and the power of soul winning. I mean, you caught all of these multitudes of fishes. I'm going to allow you, I'm going to use you to catch many, many more souls for the kingdom of God. I mean, this is an awesome word of the Lord this morning. Can you not hear God speaking into your spirit? I mean, every believer ought to know that the word of God is speaking to us this morning. But the word of God says in John 3:16, it says that God so loved the world that he gave something. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, it was me, it was you, it's the those that are not saved, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to give people through the word of God everlasting life. We need to give them hope. We need to let them know that they don't have to die and go to hell eternity, but they can live life everlasting with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I believe the word of God is such a powerful word. Why? Because he is the word of God. I thank God for the love of our God that was so concerned about me and was so concerned about you that he paid that price that nobody else could pay. He paid a price that no man, no woman could pay. Even if they paid it, it would not have saved the world of their sins. But he was that perfect sacrifice for us. And because he sacrificed his life, because he gave us so much, because he gave himself to us, we ought to be concerned about the souls of others. Is it that we so concerned about ourselves? Is it that we're so concerned about what's happening in our life? Is it that we're so concerned about our finance, about what's happening on the job, or who's next door, or who's in the company, or whatever? Are we concerned even so much about this election 2012 that we are not concerned about the men and women, the boys and girls that are almost at the edge of the cliff, that their life is in jeopardy? If we don't say something to them to bring them unto the kingdom of God, all God wants us is to be a witness for the kingdom of God. All he wants us to do is to tell the good news of him. He already have paid that price for you and for me. And here, in that 10th verse again, and so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, fear not, don't fear, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. Can you forsake all and take up your cross and follow Christ? I just want to share with you, before we end this broadcast today, I want you to know yet more of the power of God. And here on that 12th verse in that 5th chapter of St. Luke, it says, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. Leprosy is a skin disease. It has, its characterization is by a person that has sores and boils, and it affects their skin. It affects the peripheral nerves and the hands and their feet, and they're also in their mucous membrane. And behold, a man full of leprosy who sent Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thy will, thou can make me whole. Thou can make me clean. I thank God that we can recognize the power of God. Can you recognize the power of God to heal and to deliver you? This man with leprosy, he recognized that this man was just God. He was just a man, but he was God, and he was God all by himself. This man of God, that Jesus Christ was able to make him clean. He said, Lord, if thou will, thou can make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, just simple as that. I will be thou clean. That's what Jesus was saying to that man with leprosy. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer a cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto him. Unto them, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmity. When Jesus does miracles, when you can speak the word of God is going to go near and far. People, faith is going to go to the next level. When you get healed of your disease or whatever infirmity that's in your body, you tell somebody what Jesus did, that's going to build their faith. There's many people that we can tell about Jesus, what he's done in our life. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And I want you to know today there are many of you out there that are saved. Many of you out there that are not saved, do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But first of all, I want to pray with those that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The Word of God says that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. The Word of God said that we shall be saved. I told you about John 3:16 when it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you can trust God today, if you are a sinner, I was a sinner. I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But I thank God that God forgave me for all my sins, for all my transgressions. You know, sometimes we say, well, you know, I didn't do this and I didn't do that. I wasn't a hooker. I wasn't a street walker. I wasn't a liar. I wasn't this and that. But you know what? When we tally it up, you were still a sinner. You were still a sinner. You were born as a sinner. But I thank God that God paid that price. So all you have to do this morning is ask the Lord to forgive you for your sin. Come into your heart and to save you and truly believe it, that he will forgive you and that he will save you. And the Lord Jesus will cast every sin into the sea of forgiveness, and he will remember it no more. He will remember it no more. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, even as we pray, I ask you, Lord God, even now, God, to forgive those that have sinned, those that have the word. I see, Lord God, Lord, forgive them, come into their heart, save them, Father God, even right now. But your word says, God, that if we ask according to your word, God, we believe that it and believe it shall be done. Now, Lord, I thank you for casting every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. I thank you, God, for making them brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. All things are becoming new. I thank you, Lord, for their salvation. I thank God for those that are sick in their bodies, God, that you bring healing. God, that those that faith need to go to the next level, God, I thank you for the word of God today, because I believe that they believe the word. I believe, God, that you're going to stand on your word. And this we thank you in and praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This has been Dr. Mary McCoy, the Our Power Broadcast. Please join us on Friday at this same time. May God bless and keep you.